This episode is brought to you in part by the Table Podcast from the Hendricks Center at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm Daryl Bach, one of the hosts, and I invite you to join us as we discuss issues of God and culture, which includes anything and everything. Listen on your podcast app or at dts.edu/thetable.
We spend a lot of time on podcasts like this predicting the future in various ways. But as we do that, we know life is really unpredictable. And as the scripture says, we do not know the number of our days. And that's why it's a really important thing to have a will, to protect yourself and your family. Christianity Today has partnered with Epic Will to walk you through the entire process of creating a will in as little as 10 minutes. You don't have to have a law degree to be able to walk through this, and that's why it's really helpful. So visit morect.com, that's morct.com, will, that's morect.com/will to get started today.
Put on.
This is More to the Point Radio, and this is Russell Moore, here sponsored by the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, and we deal with issues related to what it means to follow Christ in the 21st century, and today I am really excited to have my friend Flame, who is one of the most recognized hip-hop artists in the country. As a matter of fact, his new album, Royal Flush, dropped last week. And it is already number one album in the hip-hop category in the iTunes store, which is absolutely incredible. And I wanted us to spend a few minutes talking to Flame about some issues related to what he's doing with his work and where he sees it going. Flame, welcome.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you. Congratulations on the way that this album is being received so well out there in the world, including, it seems, by a lot of people who aren't Christians, but who just like your work as an artist.
Indeed, yeah, it's been really great. The response has been good. I think people are being challenged, people are being encouraged, and they're enjoying the art, the artistic aspect of the record, so definitely a good thing.
That's great. Now tell me, the title of this is Royal Flush. You know, I'm a Baptist. I'm not much for gambling, so this makes me nervous. What's Royal Flush mean?
Absolutely. So I'm using the term as a metaphor. So in the game of poker, if you're dealt a royal flush, you have the highest hand.
Uh-huh.
So just in my personal time in the Word, I was reading through 2 Peter, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, just says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. So as I was processing that, God's just convincing my soul that He has set me and also the Christian up to win and have a successful, godly life. And I thought about, man, that sounds like the royal flush being set up to win. And I just wanted to unpack that idea in an album.
So what you're picturing here is a really optimistic view of the Christian life. This isn't a life of defeat or a pessimism, but a sense of uplift in terms of the power of the gospel. I think that's a needed message.
Absolutely, man. I think people are really resonating with it, and I think the Word is persuading them through these songs. So I'm excited about that.
Now, a lot of people, when they start to get the kind of success that you're experiencing, one of the things that they start to do is to water down and kind of move to least common denominator sort of stuff. And I was kind of worried about that with your new album, just seeing the kind of success that you're having. And all of us kind of have that temptation. But because I remember early on, before I ever even met you, I heard a song that you did on the Trinity, on the Godhead, from years ago. It was the first and so far only hip-hop song, or frankly, any song that I've ever heard that actually has Athanasius and hypostatic union in the lyrics. So you kind of have a high bar here. And so I'll have to say I was worried about maybe you might be moving out into watered-down stuff. But I listened to your song, Believe, and you kind of hit everybody right between the eyes with as explicit of an affirmation of the exclusivity of Christ, every possible issue that would be offensive to the larger world that you can imagine, but in an uplifting, positive sort of way. So I take it you're not wanting to go the watered-down route.
You are correct. I still believe that the gospel is only power unto life, and I still believe that ultimately music is a means to an end and not an end in of itself. So I want people to be confronted with the validity of the Bible. I want them to feel the weight of the call to turn to the Lord. But I want to do it through the arts, so I get the opportunity to kind of go under the radar. And in this song, Believe, just where the culture is, especially hip-hop culture, a lot of people are attacking the Christian Bible, and I thought this was a great way to take a stand and encourage my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same thing. So I think the song is really charging people up and also having us have great dialogue with our non-Christian friends about these particular issues.
I know you know the truth. There is no time to lose. So put on.
Stand, absent from the body, present with him, amen. And while I'm in the body, baby, I'm putting on the aroma of Christ. Can you smell my cologne? It's a strong fragrance, just let it permeate. My life and my speech, to speak my statement of faith, amen. Because what I believe is more than mental consent. It's true, but it's the truth in it that should lead men to repent, amen. And for these raw facts, we catch a lot of flack.
We do.
And some have deviated, and some come crawling back,
amen.
Cause there are consequences when you regard them as whack.
It's true,
but when you trust it's just like the garden is back.
Now, what about in the hip-hop community, what do you think is the best way to have dialogue? Right now, you kind of see conversations going on all over the country in various ways, but they're typically pretty polarized and divided. Maybe you're sitting in the green room somewhere with an artist who's not a Christian and maybe far from Christianity. What's the angle that you take to talk about that?
Yeah, I think one thing that hip-hoppers respect is they would call it keeping it real, or in other words, just being upfront about what you believe and why you believe it. So probably, in my experience, what I've noticed is just an honest confrontation between two different worldviews. That seems to be embraced, and people, they think you're more authentic when you just come out and expose who you are. And if you do it with gentleness and with kindness and with respect, that just adds to it even more so. So I've been in those positions, and I've had great discussions with guys, and I've even seen the Lord save people who've heard the gospel through, you know, guys who cared about them.
Now, one of the things that you have to face, and really any Christian artist does in some way or other, is you've not only got those who are non-Christians that you're talking to across the divide, but you also have people in churches that sometimes don't understand really artistic expression of any kind. But then you add to it the way that some people are really suspicious, particularly of hip-hop. I had a guy say to me, a guy I respect a lot, who said to me one time, he said, hip-hop cannot communicate the Christian message because hip-hop comes with a kind of defiant attitude that's endemic even in the way that it comes across, that you can't, in his words, you can't rap the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I disagree with him on that. But I think there are a lot of people who have that attitude because hip-hop's so relatively new in terms of art form, so a lot of people aren't familiar with it. How do you talk to Christians who would say, I'm just not sure that what you're doing is biblical?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the ways that's been really helpful is to sit down with the leaders in the church and just have a healthy dialogue about what hip-hop is, what it was historically, and then kind of bring them up to speed on how what we've sought to do as Christian rappers is to do away with the non-redeemable elements of the culture and to maintain the ones that can still reverence Christ, and show them how, through this means, we can connect with people, we can expand or expound on the Bible, we can, you know, develop relationships with people who probably wouldn't otherwise show up at a local church, and we can actually be the guys to disciple these men and women and be able to really build with them, showing them what life looks like when Christ gets a hold of someone who comes out of that same culture. So typically when the leaders see that and they hear it and they get to feel it and they see how it doesn't contradict the word, it just reminds me of how Paul charged Timothy, you know, just to kind of be above reproach with his youth. So it's just some things that he had working against him as a younger man, but also having the responsibility to make his presence known respectfully amongst the church. So I think we have that responsibility as well, and dialogue is a healthy way to get that started.
What would you say to somebody who's not familiar at all with hip-hop, doesn't know anything about hip-hop at all, doesn't listen to anything approaching the genre, but you're saying, here's really what my album is doing, and here's why you ought to listen to what I have to say here? How would you explain that to that person?
Yeah, I would say hip-hop culture is infiltrated the world. Most youth at least are aware of it. You almost can't talk about missions anymore without talking about hip-hop, because it's really traveled the world, and people are resonating with this culture of people that talk about struggle and poverty. So, that would be where I would start. And then the next thing I would want them to know is if hip-hop and rap music can be very anti-Christ and destructive on the mainstream side, so it's always helpful to have people that are engaging that people group and those who care about that particular group of people and showing them the relevance of the Bible. And that's what the Christian hip-hop are seeking to do. So I would just say, just be open to allowing God to speak to a culture of people through this means so that they too can be confronted and rescued from their sin by the power of the gospel. And that's really where I would start, in hopes that they would see that and feel that and then endorse that.
What song are you most excited about on this album?
Man, the song I'm most excited about, it's difficult because it's a new album, but I think probably two of the most exciting songs, one would be Believe, because it's just putting the issues out on the table so we're able to talk. And there's a second song called Sleeping, and it's really just saying people are kind of trivializing Christ and Christianity, but there's going to come a moment where they're going to have to be confronted with his reality. So rather than waiting for later, let's do that now. And it's really resonating with people from the street culture, the gang culture, the drug culture. And they're hearing it and they're feeling like, man, am I sleeping on Christ? Am I trivializing Christianity? Maybe I need to think about that and make a change.
Now, you're undergoing, and I mentioned this at the very beginning, you're undergoing a lot of success now. That's probably going to only continue. How are you guarding your life to keep from becoming the sort of train wreck that we've seen in the past with people who are artistically gifted, who love Christ, but they start getting successful and they start losing that first love?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. A couple of ways. My wife and I, we travel together to every show, every concert. So that's, you know, great friendship, great accountability. So that's, you know, primary. The second thing is my local church, the Gate Church in St. Louis, Missouri. We have a great relationship. They make sure that they're staying involved in our lives and keeping short accounts with what's going on, our motivations, our aspirations, making sure that they synchronize with the scriptures. And we work closely together with my schedule and figuring out how to navigate this industry while still serving there. And also just praying through issues and temptations that may arise, so that I can be faithful. And I also realize that I have a larger responsibility to the Universal Church as I'm out publicly representing Christ for us. So I just have those three things that, you know, they act as structure and accountability for this particular lifestyle.
One final question. I'm noticing here on the charts, top 10 hip-hop albums. Number one is yours, Royal Flush. Number two is Drake. No Drake. Nothing was the same. Number three is Beastie Boys. Are the Beastie Boys back? Is that for real?
You know what? It's like they never leave.
They never leave.
They never leave. They have a core fan base that will support them until the world expires, perhaps.
Well, I guess if you fight for your right to party, then you keep it for a while.
There it is.
Well, thanks so much, Blame, and so excited about what's happening with your new album, Royal Flush. I commend it to y'all. Get it, listen to it, and give it to some people that you know in your community, and just pray God's blessings upon it and upon your ministry. I love you, man, and I really am grateful for you and for what you're doing.
Thank you, brother. Love you back. Really appreciate the opportunity.
This is Russell Moore. This is More to the Point Radio, sponsored by the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. The album is Royal Flush, and the artist is Flame. If you're not familiar with him, get it. Listen to it. Listen to Believe. Listen to the other songs that are on there and see what the Lord is doing here. We'll talk to you next time.
You gon' need the man that you sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on. You gon' need the man that you sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on. See, all they bout is Bugatti talk, mix it up a little blasphemy. But as for me and my whole team, we lifting up who they blasphemy. Somebody looking at me sideways. Nowadays, everybody just own what they own. It can be popping Molly's, talking Illuminati, or popping a lot of bottles of Patron. Somebody looking at me sideways. Nowadays everybody wanna talk about the killer with a bad chick in a strip club with her on that magic bartender. What a liquor, get it gone.
But they don't recognize that we finna be gone. Sleeping on them like memory foam. Oh. Was in sync, but the symmetry gone. Now seeing in the track like kidney stones. So pardon me if I snap, snap. Pardon me if I rap. I rap. I put Jesus in it with the reason being I wanna see some men get back. But first, man gotta see he's lost, lost before he can even be found. Be found. Before he can even go up, a man gotta see he going down like this. This. See the need, please concede, cause you can go out like Easy E. All for what? A bigger bezel. Cash money, Lil Weezy, we that way. I know you think you cool, you don't need a nigga, but boy, you trip. Sleep. You gon' need the man that you sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on. You gon' need the man that you sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on. You gon' need the man that you sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on. You gon' need the man that you sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on, sleeping on. Sleeping on, sleeping on. Yeah, yeah.